Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. Father, thank you that we get to spend some time looking at a subject, a number of weeks, almost 2 months, looking at a subject which is foundational to our lives, to our faith, to our joy and peace, to our soundness of mind. Lord, that's looking at who you are. Who is Jesus? And the answer to that question changes everything for us, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you so much that Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God in perfect unity. And Lord, as we look at you, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God incarnate, as we look at you as God and Creator, Lord, I pray that the depth and your greatness would be made clear to us in new ways, that we would grow in our understanding of who you are. And because we understand how great and marvelous you are, the challenges that we face, we would be able to bring before you with peace, with trust, knowing that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, knowing, Lord, that you hear us and you know what it's like to go and live on this earth fully God, fully man. Jesus, thank you that you were willing to come. And as we find out more, we ask, Lord, that you would just prepare our minds and hearts. Lord, still our minds before you. All the things that are on our hearts that we trust you right now. And we quiet ourselves before you. We quiet our minds before you as we come to your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Guys, I got to tell you, one of the biggest challenges, even this morning, every Sunday morning is my last time to cut the message. Because I got about 30, 35 minutes to share. And we're dealing with who is Jesus? And we're looking at one specific area, which is Jesus is the Creator. But even that one aspect, we are just touching. We're just scratching the surface. And I got to tell you, last Wednesday night, when I went with the men and Chris led us in the men's Bible study, as we went through, you know what was so exciting? Was I got to scratch a little bit more of that surface. I got to chew a little bit more. It is so exciting. This is the first time we're doing a series where what we're going through in our Bible studies are taking what we hear on Sunday mornings and chewing on it and spending some time really looking at, man, what does it mean? Those are the biblical truths, but hearing from each other, I tell you, if you'd have a chance to join one of the Bible studies, and they're also doing it on Sunday mornings at 9:30. Jim is leading it, and it's an opportunity for the adult Bible study class on Sunday mornings to really take, and they looked at this week what we went over last week and took it even further. So I want to encourage you, man, at least spend some time by yourselves really going over and think about it, but it's going to have a greater impact if you get with a group of people and share. And if you're not able to be in one of the groups, maybe grab one or two people or ask a friend that you want to get to know better from here. Ask them out for coffee and talk about it. Great opportunity to spend some time, because sometimes when you're first meeting, you're not 100% sure about what to talk about. This gives you something to talk about. So just some ideas on that. But man, it was so exciting on Wednesday with the men's Bible study to take it further. And I was encouraged because there were things I'd never thought of that other guys were bringing. It's, man, just so much to learn, so much to learn. Well, last week we looked at Jesus is God. And today we're looking at Jesus is the Creator. And we think of the Creator as who? God the Father, right? We tend to put God the Father in that category, and we don't really necessarily think of Jesus as the Creator. Genesis 1:26 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then in verse 26, in 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image.'" Let us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make mankind in our image. See, God is in perfect union with Himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And right now we're not going to go into the Trinity. We're focusing on the role of Christ. But man, think about that from the very beginning. See, Jesus, He's outside of time. We think of Jesus as being born a baby, but through Mary, before He became flesh, He was. Before He became flesh, I am. Before Abraham, I am. John 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is describing Jesus as the Word. In the Greek, the word means logos, which is that which gives meaning to everything. Jesus is the Word. That He's the Word. That He's what gives meaning to everything. And that includes you and me. The Word that directs us and guides us and gives us meaning. Verse 2, "He was with God in the beginning." He was what? He was with God in the beginning. Just in case we don't get it, we're going to hit some scriptures which really make it clear. And this is one of them. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Guys, think about that. Through Him, all things were made. And nothing has been made that He wasn't a part of making. So I want to ask you this. What are you going through right now? What are you going through right now? What is it that you're experiencing in life right now? I know a lot of us are going through some hard times. I know, man, I've had conversations with a lot of you, and I know what's going on. And for many of you, I have no idea of what's going on. But God does. And guys, the good thing and the good news is, not only do we get to come here and be real with who we are and share who we are with each other, but we get to share with a God who knows us. And He's got so much authority, so much power. Because He's Creator. Why is it so important that Jesus has a role in creation? It means that He's above. It means He's able to do something about our lives. It means He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good teacher. You know, last week we hit the area of Jesus being who He claimed to be. Being truthful, that He wasn't a liar. He's also not a lunatic. I didn't really have time to go into that last week. He's not crazy. He's not saying something and believing it when it's a lie. Have you ever known something when somebody shares something and it's a lie and you're looking at them and it's like, man, they're believing their own lie. Right? We've been there, haven't we? Where it's hard to tell truth from a lie. Whatever you're going through right now, Jesus knows everything and He knows a way through the situation that you're in. He has the answer. He has the truth. He is the truth. He just doesn't know about creation. He's the creator. Mm-hmm. All powerful, all knowing. Colossians 1:15-20. It's where we're going to spend quite a bit of time here. The Son is the image of the invisible God.
Yes.
Now, right before I came out, I do this almost every Sunday morning. I have a list of what's happening today, and I like to have it here, and I also like to have one there. And they always give me one, so I always go in there and I'll make a copy. So I have a copy here and a copy here. One of the things you'll notice about a copy and the original, often you can tell the copy is a little bit different. It's a little lighter. It's not quite as good. And so when we say image, we kind of tend to think of that as a copy. The word that's being used here is not copy. Image is not copy. It's not that kind. In the Greek, in the original, it means revelation. That's very different than copy. Image is the revelation. And not only is the Son the image, the revelation of the invisible God. Guys, think about it. We wouldn't know what God was like to the depth that we do without Jesus Christ. You want to know what God is like? I've had so many people say to me, you worship something you can't see. To some degree, that's true. But in other ways, it's not. And I look at the life of Christ and the Word of God, and I see God. The Son is the image, the revelation of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's separate from what? From all creation. Christ is supreme over all. Firstborn in that time, the authority and the supremacy that goes with the firstborn, it's powerful. This isn't just a physical creation, but of Christ being supreme over all, but all authorities, all the activities that happen here on earth, all the authorities that we're under, he's head over all of them. He's in charge of it all. Verse 16, for in him all things were created. Just in case we didn't remember it from the last scripture. Sometimes you'll hear something and you'll say, well, that's just a scripture taken out of context. No, there's scripture after scripture which makes it clear. And here it is again. For in him all things were created. What things? That's a big word, even though it's only three letters. All. Not some, not most, but all. All things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Guys, even the spiritual battle that we go through, the angels and what? The fallen angels. He's creator of all. You know, have you ever, I remember being a kid and having a deck of cards and getting tired of the different games, the Go Fish and the different games. And so I would sometimes come to my brother or sometimes a parent, especially my mom. She was these because she would play along. And my mom would always play along the best. Sometimes my brother would be, this is stupid, and just go off. But, and I'd say, Mom, I've got a new game I made. And so as we're playing the game, I would start making the rules. And then as you know, when you're young, you want to win. And so the rules are changing. And now it's always so, oh, well, that's a black two. And when you have a black two with a red five, it's worth triple. We're playing for points? We are now, right? So, but the creator gets to be the one who makes the rules. But we've got a God who is good and just and holy, and the rules aren't changing, and we're wondering where we're going. God's truth is clear. And God, who creates all, is himself what? Unchanging. Man. That means peace and joy are available to us. Have you ever been Okay, I'm gonna give you, you guys are gonna hear my bias here. I was not happy that the Patriots won yesterday. And not just because they beat us in the Super Bowl. I'm not holding anything against, well, maybe a little bit. But you look at some games and when your heart's involved. I love the Seahawks. I love watching the Seahawks. I love watching the Patriots lose, and it doesn't happen enough.
Right.
And so, man, I was involved in the game, and what I was seeing was he missed that hold. He called what wasn't there. Right. But we have a God who's unchanging, and the rules are consistent and for all. And it's clear what's before us. That's power and authority. That's power and authority. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. That's going from the highest to the lowest. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. When you start at the very top of those in authority to moms and dads and people on the ground in authority, all of them where? Under the control and the rule of Christ. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. You see, we weren't created for ourselves. And guys, the truth of what we're hitting in this for him, that little addition is life transforming. Because when I live for me, I make me and everybody around me miserable. When I live for me, now those who are about what I want at this moment, now you're with me. But as soon as you become a hindrance to what I want at the moment, now you're against me. And so when we don't get the for him, and especially if you take on the relationship of God and you start taking the authority. So now through him, and now we can almost put ourselves as on mission from God. And if we don't get that it's for him and not for us, the mission of God quickly becomes my mission. What I think is best, my spiritual understanding, and it's faulty, it's limited. But when I understand the for him, now there's what? There's a humbling that has to take place in my heart and my soul. I'm not in charge. I don't get to be in charge. Because you know how freeing that is? Because the truth is, humanity, and with all its problems, it's too heavy to hold, to sustain, to be in charge of. We weren't created to hold that kind of weight. And when we try, it crushes us. You want to see a depressed person? Look at a person who's trying to have everything figured out and control it all. And it becomes very clear with the first challenge, that's a major challenge, that we can't change how inadequate we are to be in that position. But it's through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I love this. In him all things hold together. And I was, you know, I meet every Thursday with Jim. And it's an honor to be able to have a mentor be somebody who's as knowledgeable as Jim Shedd, but also as big a heart and as wise. Because knowledge and wisdom are two very different things. But with wisdom comes humility. And one of the things that he was sharing with me was this idea of sustainer. And he went into detail with his background and his understanding of the sciences and science. He says one of the things we were talking about was take gravity. He's like, take gravity. You know, gravity is pretty important for our universe, right? It's a pretty important thing. What is gravity? What is gravity? We've got a name for it. Science calls gravity a force because they don't have a clue what it is. Because they say that because where's the material that shows what gravity? They don't have it. There's not an understanding of what it is. We know it exists. We know what it causes. But we don't know what gravity is. And it's what, I mean, without gravity, what happens to the stuff? It just falls apart. And it says here that Jesus is the sustainer. He's the one who holds the stuff together. Gravity goes awry. Why? If God says, done. If Jesus said, whoa, I'm done. We're in trouble. Gravity is pretty important. Think about that. Science has all the answers, right? Science has all the... Guess what? Science keeps changing. What we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt yesterday, today is silliness. And a lot of what we know today beyond a shadow of a doubt from science will be more silliness of the past. Why? Because we've been able to learn more.
Yes, yes, yes.
I love that one of the things that Darwin said about the cell was, if there's any structure to the cell, then my hypothesis on evolution doesn't hold water. And back then, you couldn't look small like that. You couldn't go. And now we know the cell is a warehouse of machines that work together. Man, it's amazing. God doesn't make mistakes in science. He knows what we don't know, even the day after tomorrow. Right. He knows what we don't know. Even the truth that becomes the norm then, that's even wrong. Right? Because remember, it wasn't that long ago that Earth was the center of everything. And all of the heavens rotated around the Earth. It's wrong. It wasn't that long that the Earth was flat. It's wrong. What's going to be wrong tomorrow that's right today? You know what's not going to be wrong? Christ. Because he's unchanging. He's the creator. He's before and outside of creation. Jesus holds it all together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Somebody jokingly this morning said, hey, oh, I think it was John. He said, hey, boss man. I was like, nope. That's not me. We know where our boss man is, Christ Jesus, right? He's the one in charge. He's the head of the body of Christ, of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Fullness here means complete and total everything, the complete package. It's all in him. All his powers, all his identity, all his attributes, all who he is in Christ. Guys, think about how powerful it is that we can say, man, how do I step forward in the situation that I'm in? And then we can go to the Word of God and look at Scripture, and look at Jesus as he dealt with being persecuted, as he dealt with all the things that he went through in life, as he dealt with people saying false things about him, as he dealt with all the challenges of life. We see it, and now we know that's what God has planned for me and has given me in my identity in him, the ability to have that peace as I go through this. Regardless of what this is. And through him, For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, verse 20, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. To reconcile. Reconcile means to give us a catalyst. It's where that Greek word, a catalyst, comes from. And the idea of the catalyst here, which is, in chemistry, it's something that changes what it touches but is unchanged itself. I love that. Something that changes what it touches, but when it changes what it touches, itself doesn't change. That's what it means to reconcile. We've got our junk, our sin. And when we humble ourselves and reach out and allow Christ to be our authority, our God, our Lord, and we say, I'm going to follow him, we receive him as our Lord and Savior. He touches us and changes us from the inside out. But even though then he takes our sin from us, because he died and resurrected from the dead to conquer death and to defeat sin. And because he defeated sin, when he takes our sin from us, it is buried and left in the ground. And I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. Guys, we have new identities in Christ. We don't have to wonder how to get through the junk that we're going through, because we have a God who is with us every single step of the way. And his goodness, his identity, is now given to us by faith through grace. And we've gone from death and sin to life and sainthood. Anybody in this room, has anybody had a tough week or two? I have. Anybody here feel like a saint? I don't. And according to the flesh and the truths of this world, I'm not. But how does God see me by who I am through what his son has done for me? For what Jesus has done himself for me, and I have received freely, I am a saint. I don't feel like it. But sometimes what we feel doesn't match with the truth of who we are in Christ. Jesus Christ does not change when he takes on our sin. He stays who he is, and he changes everything he touches. Have you been changed by him? Have you experienced that? Guys, there's nothing greater, and there's nothing that allows us to go through whatever it is that's before us in this world and to still be whole and not broken, because life is hard. Life is hard. There's just no way around it. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. But in this last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Once again, is there any doubt of Jesus' role, of Jesus' authority, of his power? Matthew 7, 28 and 29, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. Jesus was teaching and he was speaking as one who had authority. And what he said, and he was doing these amazing things because he was talking about things in first person. And it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he had taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. See, Jesus speaks with all knowledge and authority. Guys, when Jesus conquered death and sin, where did that leave the enemy of God, Satan, the demonic forces? Does Satan have power? Yes. Does Satan have authority? No. Have you tried to see somebody who wields power without authority? They're a what? They're a fraud. They're a fraud. They're puffing up and they're trying to present what they aren't as reality. And as children of God, as we come to faith in Christ Jesus, the enemy has no authority over us whatsoever. Why? Because of what Christ did, who's creator of all. And so now he has power to bring hardship, but he has no authority. So what does he do? He schemes. Because when you're a liar, that's all you can do. You can scheme and you can try and get people to live as though they aren't who they are. You can try and get people to live the lie, believe the lie that you're spewing. Satan is the father of lies because he has no authority. We don't have to give in. And we can be like David, who when he saw Goliath, said, "What a pipsqueak." Everybody else saw the giant. And David said, "That little pipsqueak compared to my great God? Are you kidding?" See, it's the right perspective. It's being in truth. It's seeing the same thing as others, but understanding the truth behind it. What a little pipsqueak. Calling out God's people and mocking them. He's going to have to answer to God for that. I feel sorry for Goliath. Truth is a powerful thing, isn't it? John 14:9 and the first part of 14:9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." He's talking to one of his disciples. You see, sometimes in life we can be like those disciples where we're like, how do we get through this? How do I move forward? And if we don't have God in our lives, I don't know. Because all the weight of the world is upon your shoulders. But in Christ, there's peace and joy. And no matter what hits us, it doesn't affect our identity. And so the liar comes and gives false statements. Satan, the demonic forces, the lies. It's not our identity. We have our truth in Christ of who we are. The hardships come, and we start doubting ourselves. No, the truth is, I'm a new creation in Christ. And to end it all off, Colossians 1:19-20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You see, before creation, before it was all started, Jesus had a plan of redemption. Before God created time, see, time is this little timeline in the sea of God's identity. And so there's this little tiny thing, which is time, which is God's creation, which we experience. And God knew from before he created that little timeline That tiny little timeline, which we're a little blip on this tiny little timeline. He had an understanding of what was going to happen, what was needed for redemption. You see, Adam's sin wasn't a surprise to him. We're not in plan B. Guys, hear that. We're not in plan B. You see, God knew that to create man, to have free will, he couldn't control. And so he would love and knew that man in our mankind, men and women, in our humanity, we're not God. And so from the very beginning, from before creation, he prepared a way for us to be made right with him by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You know what that says to me? I'm in good hands. I'm not talking about Allstate. I'm in much better hands than that. I'm in eternal hands. I'm in God's powerful hands. That means whatever I'm going through right now, whatever you're going through right now, God knew it from before the creation of the world, and he's prepared a way through it. Guys, think about that. No matter what you're going through, we can rest in him. Right? And guys, to me, this has been a hard week. I know for many of you, it's been a hard week. But we're in good hands. And we can trust him who has the answers. So in the midst of the trial, guess what we get to have? Peace. We can take a deep breath. So I guess the question at this point in real life, where the rubber meets the road of life and the hardships come, and we're going to live either in peace and joy, or we're going to just be absolutely undone by the situations that are hard in our lives. And it comes down to this. Do I trust Jesus more than I trust me? Do I trust him more than I trust? I don't have the answers. Guys, I'm your pastor. I don't have the answers. There are many times where you come to me and I just had a time last week. Somebody approached me with something I didn't know the answer. I said, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to say here. Can we pray? Because I know the one who does. This is beyond me. And guys, we all have that. It's whether we choose to trust him or not. What's that choice you're making? What's that choice you're making? I wanted to, as we close up here, I wanted to take a moment and there's something that we can do as we're going through this series. Who is Jesus? I really want to encourage you guys. Open yourselves up. I know a lot of you aren't involved in a small group. You know, one of the things we want to see happening at this church more and more is real connections. And it's happening here at this church more than it does at most, and it's beautiful. And it's one of the things that makes this special. But for that, man, I can't tell you how important the men's group has been to my life. You know, one of the things that they don't tell you at Bible school or seminary or anything is that to be a pastor, it's hard to have friends. And I am blessed in this family that I have friends. Yes, I'm your pastor, but that's a position, a role. And boy, I tell you, being able to come and connect with other guys and sharing for the women's Bible study, man, to be able to come and there's something great about people knowing you, the good, the bad, the ugly, and walking with you in it. That you don't, you know, church can become what we want to present ourselves, the best form of who I want to be. And so this is who I'm presenting. And guys, that's religious activity. That has nothing to do with faith. Trying to be something we're not. It's actually living in the darkness, not bringing to light what's really going on. And the more we bring into light, this is me, the more me gets to be dealt with before God. And the more real change takes place in our lives. And the more we die to ourselves daily and experience the life of Christ in us. So I want to encourage you guys, if you can't get involved in one of the small groups, man, find a friend. Find somebody you've wanted to get to know a little bit better. Find somebody you naturally connect with. Ask them to go out for a cup of coffee. Guys, invite another guy. Say, hey, can we get a cup of coffee this week? Maybe go over this thing. When we share the journey, God's moving. God will do amazing things. Let's be real before God and each other. Let's live in light. And as we do that, we trust Jesus to be who he says he is, to do what he promises to do. And it's great that we can trust him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are holy, and we are not. But in our identity in you, we are holy because of what you have done. We are righteous because of who you are in us. We are transformed. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has been religious in the past up till now, Lord, but wants something more, is craving something more and real, Lord, they would stop before you, humble themselves, and say, Father, forgive me of my sin. I choose something else. I choose you, Jesus. I choose to follow you. You were there at creation. You are greater than my sin. I choose to follow you. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I choose you. I trust you. And Father, for those of us who know you and we're walking with you, Lord, we want to experience the truth of who we are in Christ. We don't want to be victims of the schemes of the devil. Lord, we want to experience the joy and the peace in you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would really challenge us in the small groups to really have a greater understanding of your truth about who you are. That we would see Jesus is not only God, but he's the creator of all. And so he is trustworthy. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for providing a way for us to know you and be in right relationship with you. Thank you that you stay holy and that you are unchanging. Lord, I pray that as we go out this week, Father, that you would give us, that you would take away our arrogance and pride, that anything that makes us feel above others, you would take that away. You would, man, that would die in the grave and stay there as we are resurrected in you. And that we would approach those around us with humility and love and truth and care enough to share love and truth. And come alongside people who are hurting and love them right where they're at, just like you did with us. Let us have your eyes and your ears, your understanding. So, Lord, we trust you. We love you. We choose now to go and love others with your love. Show us how to do that, because we can't do it in our own strength. But, Lord, we want to see people come to you. We want to see joy and peace where there's brokenness and shame. We want to see wholeness in the ones we know. Thank you, Lord, for providing a way from before creation. You had a plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.